Well, it wasn't too long ago that the environmental headlines in our area surrounded the southeast side of Chicago, talking about pollution, what's known as pet coke. That was the waste created by oil refining. Remember that? It was, there are a couple of corporations in the Chicago area that specialize in housing that waste, and except in doing so, they just created mounds of the dust-like waste open to the elements, and the toxic material would just blow into the neighboring communities, covering houses in black soot, causing health issues like asthma for the residents. But the residents fought against it, and they won. They forced it out of the community. But now, more pollution, and this time, a different culprit, manganese. It's similar to pet coke in its consistency, but it's a heavy metal. It's an ingredient used to make steel. Think like lead. And when open to the elements, it does the same thing. It flies all over the neighborhoods, not to mention the threats the neurotoxic chemical has to the water and air quality. And a recent study says that levels of manganese was found in children's toenails, not under, in. And it's disproportionate. It's more on the southeast side than anywhere else. But the community has fought polluters before, and they're doing it again. But what can be done to protect citizens of Chicago from these threats popping up every other year? We welcome back in studio a download regular, Josh Mogerman, NRDC, the NRDC paying close attention to what's happening on the southeast side of Chicago. Josh, good to see you, bud.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I got you there. Sorry. There we go. And also joining us by phone, Olga Batista. She runs the advocacy group, the Southeast Side Coalition to Ban Pet Coke, and she's a resident down the southeast side. Olga, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Olga, why don't I start with you? Manganese is, I mean, when I say it's an ingredient in making steel, that automatically makes me think that that's been an issue on the southeast side and Indiana and other places for a long while from the steel industry that's there. This is something that the community has had its eye on for a long while.
That's true. We had learned about it through the Southeast Environmental Task Force. I'm a board member there at that organization, and it's something that's been on our radar, and we knew that it was being brought in. We just didn't have any information about, was it leaving the premises? We had our ideas about it, but we couldn't prove it until we had the air monitors that were used to detect pet coke and to try to regulate the pet coke that was in the neighborhood, that those monitors picked up the manganese, and then we were able to confirm for sure that manganese is also airborne. It's also escaping the premises and of the company and getting into people's homes, in their backyards, caked onto their homes. So that's kind of where we are right now.
Josh, let me bring you in, because this is an issue, of course, to the area in the southeast side of Chicago and, like I said, Indiana, but it's also been something that environmentalists have been fighting and residents of places like Detroit and also Ohio. There's a big study out of Ohio. This is something that's been on the radar of environmentalists on the national level for a couple of years now.
Yeah, there was a really horrible case in Ohio where one of the companies that is being looked at here in Chicago, called SH Bell, had similar issues where outdoor storage was blowing into the community, and the EPA stepped in and took action to force some significant changes in the way they operated. And we hope that we'll be seeing the same thing here in Chicago. But you're right. I mean, this is a material that pops up in other industrial cities. And yeah, there are issues in Detroit. There are issues in a lot of other places, and we need to deal with these big piles that are blowing into people's communities.
And I don't understand, because a lot of the fight, and Olga, you know, a lot of the fight over pet coke was this idea that there's exposed piles of dust that would you could just see with the naked eye how it was being whipped around by the elements. There was a movement with pet coke, like, why don't we house it indoors? Why don't we do something with it? I mean, how surprising is it that this is the same issue, just different chemical? I mean, does it surprise you that the industries down there haven't adjusted or evolved to possibly change the way they do business?
Well, I mean, we had to think about it. You know, why are these companies here? You know, it's prime real estate. There is a river that goes right through my neighborhood, and this community is both residential and industrially zoned. So people's backyards are right up against literally these companies. And with the current zoning laws that we have in the city, it's illegal.
Hmm. Josh, same question to you. I mean, do they at a certain point, I mean, they seem to flaunt the environmental rules, if not the actual laws on the books. But talk about, you know, the consistency of these corporations being able to have this waste on site and not having much. It doesn't seem like much regard for the community that surrounds it.
Well, one of the things I think that is a little bit of a silver lining here is that we're seeing some positive things that are part of this fight that come out of the Pet Coke fight. And just to give you a sense of where we're talking about in the proximity, one of the facilities that people probably remember seeing photos of in the Tribune and other places is this facility, KCBX.
Right.
It runs along 100th Street. Literally across the river, just a couple hundred yards away, is this facility, SH Bell, that is one of the manganese concerns. So we're talking about really, really closely situated facilities that are having this big cumulative impact on the community. It's a real concern. The good thing is that people like Olga in the community who led the fight to push back against Pet Coke being dumped in their community, they won really big victories. And one of the things that came out of that fight was new rules on the books here in the city of Chicago about these piles that ensured that there would be rules in place that limited where they could be, how big they could be, the throughput in these facilities, and they put in monitors that are, as Olga said, that's why we know there's a problem.
And Olga, I want to bring you in. The concept of the air monitors and being able to take on almost a David and Goliath situation where Southeast Side neighbors who have been overlooked in their concerns, environmental concerns for years, to be able to get these air monitors in place to be able to detect what's happening in those communities. That was a huge win in the Pet Coke fight. And it's showing, it's materializing it as another weapon, if you will, into fighting other sources of pollution. How important is it to have those monitors in place for you to be able to fight for your community?
It's critical. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do it without the data. The burden of the proof has been always on the community. Like we've had to prove that this was a problem, and that was difficult. So now that we had these air monitors, you know, we were able to look directly at that. But the thing too is that the way that these rules work, you know, it's not cut and dry. It's not like if the dust escapes, the levels of manganese or pet coke in the air, the heavy metals, it has to be it has to be so high for a 24-hour period. So the issue is that when the research has shown is that acute exposure is a problem. So these rules that we have, you know, as much as they've improved, don't go far enough, because what if that gust of wind is happening right after school when kids are walking home and it wasn't in the air for 24 hours? You know, maybe it was just at that moment. And that's okay, yeah. Legally. The company is not doing, you know, anything wrong. But physically, for these children, and emotionally for the parents who have sick kids and have kids with asthma, my nephew Rocco, you know, he's been sick for 2 weeks, and he's 5 years old, and they've given him the highest dosage of steroids that they can give him. And my brother and his wife are extremely scared because he hasn't left the house in 2 weeks either, because they're afraid that his bronchioles are going to shut. And that's how dangerous it is. Like the human toll and the emotional and physical and psychological, you know, that families are feeling and experiencing is telling me that these rules are not going far enough. So if there's a chance that my nephew is going to be on his way to the doctor, during a time when there's a lot of manganese in the air or even, you know, any kind of particulate matter, for him, it's life and death. So
Josh, I just want to bring you in, and just as we wrap the segment, I think about what Olga said about the community there, and you know, obviously this is an old community. It's a community that has roots and traditions and values and has been a part of Chicago for a long time, and they've been neighbors with this industrial corridor and what's happening on the Calumet there. The question I have is that, are we at a point in society where we have to delineate and find ways to have industrial zones and residential zones, and we have to kind of look at what happened in planning cities and urban areas or even industrial areas in decades and even centuries ago differently?
Well, the city of Chicago does have a lot of land use stuff. That's what the zoning issues are supposed to deal with. That's what permitting is supposed to deal with. But in Chicago right now, human health doesn't really fit into those discussions. The Department of Public Health can't say, look, the burden on the Southeast Side is way higher than any other part of the city. The experiences like Olga is talking about, people don't have to deal with that in Lincoln Park. It's not fair. We need to be factoring these issues in, and the Department of Public Health needs to be able to say, that's enough of this dirty stuff on the Southeast Side. But instead of integrating that, what we have is a shifting that's going on right now. We have planned manufacturing districts that are supposed to be industrial, and they're closing down all over the city. You can look at Goose Island, where all of that stuff is moving out. Where's it going to go? Little Village, the Southeast Side, areas that are already overburdened.
It's a very interesting story, one that we'll continue to cover. Olga Batista runs the advocacy group, the Southeast Side Coalition to Ban Pet Coke. She was successful in pushing Pet Coke out of the Southeast Side, but now manganese has reared its head as an old pollutant that is new because of the monitors. Josh Mogerman, of course, with the NRDC, joins us regularly here on The Download. Olga, Josh, thanks so much for joining us and giving us an update on this story, and we hope to talk to you guys again soon.
Thanks a lot, Jess.
Thank you so much for having us. Bye-bye.